All right, let me jump on into today's Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, 30-year veteran in the practice of law. Oh, by the way, longtime conservative. And I'll tell you more about Stan here momentarily. So let me just start by saying war drums are pounding again. Look, I've been on the air now for 4 years, right? Over 4 years, actually. And in that 4 years, I have commented multiple times on armed conflict around the world. Well, just since Right Side Radio went live in the summer of 2021, I have provided commentary on the debacle pullout from Afghanistan, the onset and the continuation of the war in Ukraine, the conflicts in Syria, the October 7th massacres in Israel, followed by the wars against Hamas and Hezbollah, the U.S. bombing of Houthi rebels, the Iranians launching major missile strikes against Israel, and most recently, there was a conflict with Iran that took on a new and devastating escalation as Israel began a bombing campaign to destroy their nuclear capabilities, and the U.S. joined in and crushed the nuclear facilities at Natanz and Isfahan. Look, it's not a quiet world, is my point. It's not. It's not a quiet world, and there have been wars and rumors of wars since the beginning of time. And the interesting dynamic, though, is that rarely, in the midst of all of that, rarely have we seen in recent history an armed conflict in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, there have been some, though, but they've been limited in scope and were generally quick in their operations. But watch the horizon, my friends, because something new is happening. War drums are beating, and they are here in our part of the world. Just in the last few days, the president has ordered the deployment of a naval strike group to deploy near the coastline of Venezuela. We've got four guided missile destroyers, one cruiser, at least one nuclear fast attack submarine, and a marine expeditionary group. There are currently no U.S. aircraft carriers in the waters off the South American nation, but keep in mind, this is only a short distance south of Puerto Rico, where we have an air base, so do we really need it? The talk around D.C. is that this is a buildup, a show of force, and direct escalation of the war on the cartels that the Trump administration all recently branded as a terrorist organization and a national security threat. Well, Venezuelan President Maduro is a dictator. He has flooded the U.S. with Tren Aragua gang members. He has voided an election in 2024 to stay in power. He has seized U.S. assets in Venezuela, and he has nationalized U.S. production companies that were stationed there. Maduro is an avowed socialist, and most recently he's been collaborating with both Russia and China to give them greater access and influence in the Western Hemisphere. And in recent weeks, he's been accused by the U.S. government of being the point man, the head, of a dangerous drug cartel called the Cartel de las Soles, or Cartel of the Sun. That provides aid and assistance to Tren de Aragua and the Sinaloa cartels to traffic drugs into the U.S., all using the power of his Venezuelan government. So the U.S. has recently posted, believe it or not, a $50 million reward to anyone who provides the necessary information leading to his arrest and conviction on charges of narco-trafficking. And that's the president of Venezuela. Oh, by the way, a stone's throw from U.S. waters. So what do we know about this? And by the way, is there any history of such an act by other presidents? I mean, are we actually going to invade Venezuela? Well, the first thing you do is you look at history. And yes, this is a huge, hairy deal. This is not some faraway conflict with people that we don't identify with. This is not some effort by some tinpot dictator to seize a little turf on the far side of the world. No, this is a U.S. military deployment right here in our own backyard. But yes, there is historical precedent. The British actually invaded their own colony in the Falkland Islands off the coast of Argentina in 1982. The Argentinian government had decided to lay claim to what they believed was their sovereign territory, so the British government under Margaret Thatcher just said flat out no. And the Falklands War lasted all of 10 weeks, and it was over. The very next year, in 1983, President Ronald Reagan launched Operation Urgent Fury to invade the Caribbean island of Grenada. Grenada, where Cuban and Soviet troops had begun establishing influence right there in our near horizons. Elements of the 82nd Airborne Division, the Ranger Regiment, along with U.S. Marines and Special Operations, they took that island by storm. They liberated Americans that were being held hostage at St. George's University in Grenada, and the invasion lasted all of 8 days. But perhaps the most significant example that parallels where we are right now is Operation Just Cause, the invasion of Panama. In 1989, the Central American nation of Panama was controlled by a strongman named Manuel Noriega. Noriega had been indicted in the U.S. on drug trafficking charges. He was accused of suppressing democracy in Panama, endangering U.S. nationals. U.S. troops stationed in Panama were under duress, and the use of the Panama Canal was being threatened. Allegations arose concerning Noriega's history as a drug trafficker, a money launderer. And most shocking, however, were reports that Noriega had been acting as a double agent for Cuba's intelligence agencies and for the Sandinistas. Well, the U.S. government disowned Noriega. And in 1988, he was indicted by federal grand juries in Tampa and Miami on drug smuggling and money laundering charges. And in 1989, the Panamanian dictator annulled a presidential election that would have made another man, a guy named Guillermo Endara, president. So U.S. President George H. Bush, he ordered additional troops to the Panama Canal Zone. And on December 16th of 1989, an off-duty U.S. Marine was shot to death at a Panamanian Defense Force roadblock. And the next day, President Bush authorized Operation Just Cause, the U.S. invasion of Panama to overthrow Noriega. So on December 20th of 1989, just short of 36 years ago, 9,000 U.S. troops joined the 12,000 U.S. military personnel that were already in Panama. The 82nd Airborne and the Ranger Regiments once again parachuted in. Multiple other U.S. military organizations, both conventional and special operations, all participated. And they were met with scattered resistance from the Panamanian Defense Force. But by December 24th, just a few days later, the PDF was crushed and the U.S. held most of the country. And Endara, the man who had actually won the recent election, was made president by U.S. forces, and he ordered the PDF to be dissolved. On January 3rd, just a couple of weeks later, Noriega himself was arrested by U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency agents, extradited to the U.S. for trial. In 1992, Noriega was found guilty on 8 counts of drug trafficking, racketeering, and money laundering, making the first time in history that a U.S. jury had convicted a foreign leader of criminal charges. And he was sentenced to 40 years in federal prison, but eventually he was extradited to Panama, where he died in a Panamanian city jail hospital on May 29th of 2017. I say all that to say, think about what I just told you. Operation Just Cause, a dictator, a drug trafficker, a threat to our U.S. national interests and national security, a strongman who voided elections to stay in power, followed by the Panamanian invasion. Then compare that to where we are today. U.S. forces staging off the coast of Venezuela, a dictator, a drug trafficker, a threat to national interests and national security, a strongman who voided elections to stay in power. I'm telling you, the parallels are ominous, and they are real. And Trump is a man of history, if you know what I'm saying. He knows what has happened before, and he knows what's happening now. And there will be reports in the coming days that will be very telling. I'm not going to be surprised to see one of two things. Either the beleaguered people of Venezuela will rise up and overthrow their dictator, or the U.S. is going to remove him somehow. But in my opinion, the cards are not there for Maduro to stay in much longer. So what are the second and third order effects here? Well, number one, it's a strong deterrent to the drug cartels when they see their benefactors being deposed. It's a mission of the Trump administration to take the fight right now directly to the cartels, and this would be a major signal that Trump is not mincing words. Number two, this would be a strong signal to Mexico, Colombia, and other Central and South American nations that we as a nation are through letting instability and reckless trafficking endanger the U.S. in our own backyard. Mexico is going to have to decide if it's better for them to align themselves with the cartels or to work with their big neighbor to the north. And I think we know what the better solution would be, especially if we see Maduro being deposed. And thirdly, I will say this. This is a signal to Russia and China that we are no longer the passive version of Biden's America that sat idly by and let the malign forces that hate us set up shop in our own neighborhood. Because yes, China and Russia have been very active in Venezuela. The Trump neighborhood watch is fully engaged. It is not going to be quiet, and China and Russia are going to have to make some decisions and change some plans. Look, I've said before, there's that old axiom that dates back to the 4th century of Rome. Si vi pacem, para bellum. It means if you want peace, you prepare for war. And that, by the way, is not a warmongering, overly hawkish view seeking a call to arms. It's not. I'm a soldier who's been to war. I don't want to see it again. But it is just a view of history. It's the knowledge that one cannot sit idly by, sit quietly in a playground filled with bullies and come out okay unless the bullies know that you're the one carrying the big stick. History is replete with obvious parallels to where we are right now. And some of them are very recent in time. Invasion of Panama. Keep your eyes on the horizon, my friends. We better not get into a reclusive and isolationist mindset and forget that to ensure our best defense, we must show the capability of force projection and overwhelming capacity. Si vi pacem, para bellum. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way.